In spite of the fact that I removed the question box, all of a sudden now people want to turn in questions. So let's look at another one. Here's the question. In Luke chapter 1, verse 80, it says, Jesus waxed strong in spirit. We also know that he disputed with the religious leaders when he was 12 years old. My question is, how did he know what the truth was and how he could discern between the truth and the traditions of the Pharisees? At this point, he was not filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul did something similar in Acts chapter 9, verses 17 through 22, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. How was Jesus able to discern and confound the leaders without the Holy Spirit? How did Jesus really increase in wisdom without the Holy Spirit? Now, that's a fair question. Don't know who asked it. However, let me tell you why you're asking this question. And this is not, don't get upset with me here, okay? What happens is this. Those of us in full gospel circles, Pentecostal circles, spirit-filled circles, charismatic circles, I don't know, pick your term. Over time, we begin to develop this, and we don't do it on purpose now, okay? But it just seems to happen. We begin to develop this this idea that if you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, then you basically can't learn anything. Now, that's not exactly our thinking, but it comes out in questions like this. Whoever turned the question, don't be embarrassed by this, because I can remember one time, a while back, it was like the Lord had a sit-down talk with me about all of this. And he said, you have forgotten some things. And he began to correct me along these lines. Well, I won't get into all of that, but I do want to answer this question and help you see this, because it is a fair question. But at the same time, it also reveals that we might not understand as much about who we are in Christ as what we should understand. You'll get this as we go through. First off, we need to ask the question, who was Jesus? Who was he? Well, in Luke chapter 1, take a look here. And in Luke chapter 1, this is it's a story of what happened when the angel appeared unto Mary. And the story begins in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And he went to visit the Virgin Mary, who was pledged to Joseph. And they're both of the house of David. And the angel says, Hail, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. She was troubled at his saying and wondered, what is this all about? The angel said, Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now stop right there. Let me just interject this. The angel is quoting from prophecy. It's not word for word, but he's quoting from prophecy in the Old Testament. And I thought about writing down all these different prophecies from the Old Testament, but I didn't. You study those out for yourself. But this goes back to things that the prophet said. Well, Mary, verse 34, says to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See that? So now the angel has appeared to Mary, quoted from prophecy, and declared to Mary, you're going to become pregnant with the Son of God. The Holy Ghost is going to move upon you with the power of God. You shall become pregnant, give birth to the Son of God, and you'll name him Jesus. Now that's Mary. Well, let's take a look at her husband-to-be, Joseph. Look over in Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, we'll pick this up here in verse 18. It says, The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, meaning before the wedding ceremony and the whole nine yards, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Meaning, She was found to be pregnant. All right? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And again, the angel is quoting from prophecy. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, what do we have here? We have both Mary and Joseph being visited by the angel, and the angel telling them Mary's going to give birth to a son. He's going to be the Son of God. His name will be Jesus. Now let's take this further. John chapter 1. And here in John chapter 1, in verse 1 it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now John is writing this about Jesus, how He's the Son of God, and we beheld His glory, the Word made flesh, so on and so forth. Now look over in John chapter 10. And we'll just take a look here in one verse. Jesus makes the statement, verse 30, I and my Father are one. So Jesus recognizes that He and His Father are one. Well, let's go back to the original question. This part of the message, who was Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God. Now we understand this. He was the Son of God by virtue of the fact that God released His life into Mary, and Mary provided, if you will, the physical house. The Word was made flesh. The physical house for the life of God, which was the Word of God. And Jesus was born into this world. That means that Jesus was born into this world without a sin nature. He was born with the life nature of God. This is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical, because it's something to which we cannot relate. We need to be born again. Jesus did not need to be born again. He was born again when He was born. You understand what I'm saying? He was born into this world with the life of God. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's find out how we learn. How do we learn the things of God? How can we be nurtured according to the Word of God? How can we come to the place of understanding the difference between traditions and truth? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you look here in verse 14, we could look at the whole chapter really, but it says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now we know that the natural man has a spirit, but that spirit does not have the life of God. In other words, it has the sin nature. So what we could say here is that man with a sin nature receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are only discerned by those who have spiritual life. See this? Jesus was born into this world with what? Spiritual life. See that? Therefore, the things of God would not have seemed foolish to him from day one. Now this is very important, because he was born with the life, the spiritual life of God, which means that he had the ability in and of himself spiritually to discern these things. Notice here it says they're discerned, they are spiritually discerned. It doesn't say they are Holy Ghost discerned. See that? They are spiritually discerned. So if I have the spiritual life of God in me, then I have the ability to spiritually discern these things. Jesus was born into this world as a baby with the spiritual life of God. Now, let's talk, we see here how we learned. Well, that kind of leads us into how did Jesus learn? Well, obviously, Jesus learned in part because he had that spiritual life on the inside of him and was able to spiritually discern. You say, well, how in the world could he have spiritually discerned when he was so young? That's what I just said. We can't relate to being born into this world with spiritual life. You see what I'm saying? We have it now, but we can't relate to being born in swaddling clothes with the spiritual life of God on the inside of us. But let's talk about this, because when Jesus was born, he was taught. He wasn't born knowing these things. He was born with the spiritual potential to discern these things. But he still had to be taught these things, and these things are taught from the Word of God. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll see a little bit here about the culture in which Jesus was raised and how Jesus was taught. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in pick up verse 6 here. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Okay, what are we seeing right here? We're seeing Deuteronomy. How far along in Scripture is Deuteronomy? Book number 5, right? We've got a whole lot more books to go before we get to Matthew, do we not? Once you get past Deuteronomy, what are we looking at? Well, simply put, the prophets. Now, I know that every book past Deuteronomy is not considered a book of the prophets. I understand that. I'm using this for illustration. So once you get past Deuteronomy, you're getting past the 5 books of the law or the Pentateuch, okay? From that point on, it's something other than the law because the law has been given. So right now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the primary focus is on the law, but it goes beyond that. And let me show you. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. And you'll see what Jesus was taught. It was the responsibility of the Jewish people to teach the children when they were at a very young age. And I'll talk about that here in just a few moments. In Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 17. Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill." With that in mind, look over in Matthew chapter 22. And here in chapter 22, begin reading in verse 34. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, or an expert in the law, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.'" Now look what he says next. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now here's what I'm getting at. In Deuteronomy, when we read over there in chapter 6, the only thing they really had at that point was the law. Now they did have the prophecies that God gave through Moses and through Abraham, because God had prophesied to Abraham, your generations will come and, you know, as the sand of the sea and so on and so forth. But when it comes to everything past Deuteronomy, the people living at the time of Deuteronomy didn't have all of this. But now Jesus comes along and he has, if you will, everything from Genesis to the whole Old Testament. The law and the prophets. And it's obvious he knows this, knows the law and the prophets, because he's talking to the people, "I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill." And then when he talks about the law, he says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now here's what I'm getting at. When Jesus was taught, when he was being raised, he was taught the law and the prophets. See that? Now, look over in Proverbs chapter 20. And you'll see more about the way that Jesus was raised. In verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, we've taught on this before, how that when that candle is lit, it represents being born again. Well, Jesus' spirit was lit. His candle was lit from day one, from the moment that he was born. Look over in Psalm chapter 119. And look here in verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Okay, now, Jesus is being taught the law and the prophets as he's being raised. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The Bible also says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple." So now here you have a young boy who has the life of God in him. That the truth of God is spiritually discerned. So the whole time that they're teaching him the law and the prophets, spiritually, this is being fed into life. It's not being fed into lost people. It's been being fed into somebody that has the life of God from the very beginning. You see this? "And the entrance of God's word giveth light," or understanding. Now let me say it like this for teaching purpose. Jesus was born simple. What I mean is, he didn't know these things. But as he's sitting in class, and all these things are being taught, everybody around him has a dead spiritual nature. He's the only one in class who's catching this. Who's understanding these things. You see what I mean? And when they get into the prophecies, like Moses was talking about a deliverer was coming and so forth, you know, bling, the light's going off to Jesus. He's seeing this because he has the ability spiritually to discern these things, to understand what's being said. Look over in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, and take a look here in verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." See that? Now, this was an instruction, and it goes all the way back to Deuteronomy, where the instruction was, train these things, or train your children these things, the law and so forth. So now we hear a reinforcement of that. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Jesus was trained up as a child, according to these things. As a child, these things were taught to him. Now, I want you to see another verse goes right along with this. Look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is really interesting. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now look here. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." See that? Now, do you understand, at the time Paul was writing this, the only scriptures they had were the Old Testament? They didn't have the New Testament. So when he's writing this, what he's saying is that from a child, train up a child the way he should go, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, what Paul is saying, look, Timothy, the law and the prophets were giving us a revelation of what was to come, and what was to come was who was to come, and the who was to come was Jesus. So the scriptures, the law and the prophets, gave us a revelation that faith in Jesus is the way to salvation. See that? As a child. Now, all of these things were taught to all the Jewish boys. All these kids were taught this as a child. But the only one who really caught on was Jesus. Because he was the only one that the words of life were able to touch the life that the words of life could produce. See what I mean? Because Jesus had that life on the inside of him. So here they are, they're teaching these things. Now, a while back I was sharing with you about how the children were raised in the Jewish culture. First off, the parents had a responsibility to start training the children how to read and write when they're like, you know, 3 years old. And they taught them how to read and write with Scripture. So, and before they started teaching them to read and write, they had the responsibility of quoting or reading Scripture to the child from birth. From birth. So they're quoting the law, the prophets, and so forth. So now here's Jesus in Mary's arms, and she and Joseph are quoting law and prophets to Jesus. Now he's just a baby, but what are they doing? They're speaking life into life. See that? Listen, we know what a difference it makes to speak life into the sin nature of our children when they're young. If we do it, it makes a huge difference. Now, what if we did that and those children were born with the life of God? Can you see how that feeding that life into life is going to make a huge difference? So the parents had this responsibility to start training these children before the children ever went to Hebrew school. Along with that. And this is also very critical. And it will kind of help explain some of this. The question was, how did he know the truth from the traditions and so on and so forth? One of the things you have to understand is that there were not different Jewish denominations. There was only one. And they didn't have 56 different versions of the law and the prophets. Are you with me? All they had was Jewish. That was it. And you knew no matter what synagogue you went to, you're going to hear the same law and the same prophets. Now, they did throw the traditions in. We understand that. But here's Jesus with the life of God on the inside of him. His parents aren't teaching traditions because the responsibility of the parents was to teach the law. And then later on, the law and the prophets after the prophets have been given. So here's Mary and Joseph. They're quoting and reading to little baby Jesus, the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets. Once the kids got into school, they were not immediately taught the traditions. They were taught the law and the prophets. The traditions came later on. Now, you and I both know, we don't have to have been there to figure out that sooner or later you'd have had, you know, some rabbis or whatever throw in some traditions along the way. If it happens today, it would have happened back then. You know how it goes. But what the point I'm trying to make is this. Here's Jesus. He's raised in a culture which is narrow-minded and single-focused. He didn't have a whole lot of different Jewish denominational churches to attend. There's just one. That's it. There is no other. And so because of that, there was consistency in what was taught. And when they gave the law and the prophets, that's all they gave was the law and the prophets. They didn't give anything else. Then later on, they would throw in their traditions. Look over in John chapter 8. Because there's something else here I want to point out. As far as Jesus being raised and what all happened and so on and so forth. If you look here in verse 31... Jesus says to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now, why would they bring the thing of fornication up? Do you honestly think, okay, now, Mary was found to be with child. You don't think the rumor mill got started?
Well, whose baby is that?
Well, it's Joseph's. He just couldn't stay away from her. I think it's a Roman soldier's. I think it's this guy down the street. I think it's...
She was pregnant before they got married. You know people talked. And when that baby was born, if you, whatever you know about Jewish customs, you can pretty well be sure there were some parents that would have told their children, you can't play with him. He's a bastard. You can't play with him. His mother was a woman of loose morals. You guys know how it is. You don't think that dogged him his whole life? You don't think people remembered those weird stories? An angel appeared? How would you explain that? If you're Mary, how do you explain your pregnancy to anyone? Well, this is God's baby. Yeah, right. God got you. Well, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall... Yeah, but not you, Mary. But not you. It has to be somebody. It'd be a priest's daughter. It'd be, yeah, but doesn't the prophecy say something about a lion from the tribe of Judah? And that kind of where I fit in? You see what I'm saying? You know this would have followed him his whole life. Now here's what I'm getting at. Jesus comes home one day. And... the word bastard's in the Bible, all right? He looks at his mom, and I don't know what the Greek word is, and says, Mommy, what's a bastard? Honey, why are you asking that? Well, because the kids down the street said I'm a bastard. What's a bastard? Remember, he's little Jesus. He's growing up and he's learning. Well, honey, here's... Well, but Mommy, I don't understand. Well, let me tell you what happened. I mean, somewhere along the line, she told him... Not only about him, but also about John the Baptist, his cousin. Because he was a miracle baby too. An angel shows up over on that side of the family. So, you know, I mean, you can't keep anything like that from a kid. You know, Mommy, they say that an angel showed up and that the Holy Ghost got you pregnant. Now, I mean, I don't know how it all went. But you know she told him. You know that she would have explained to him what happened. Now here's the thing. Kids today are different than Jesus. Kids back then were different from Jesus because we've all been born with a sin nature. Jesus wasn't. As she's sharing truth with him, something was resonating on the inside. He understood and he knew. And then when they start talking about the prophecies, he's sitting in class and they start talking about the law and the prophets, and they start talking about the prophecies and about, you know, the throne of David and the government on his shoulders and I mean, the virgin shall conceive. I mean, they start going through all these prophecies and Jesus is sitting there, they're talking about me. He knew. They're talking about me. But here's the thing, every time those teachers would stand up and start reciting the law and the prophets, begin reciting what Messiah would do, begin reciting all that he's sitting there and they're just feeding his spirit, feeding his spirit, feeding his spirit. There are people that preach and teach that John the Baptist didn't know who Jesus was. And I won't get into teaching all of that, but you've got to understand, he knew he was the voice crying in the wilderness. You know his mommy and daddy would have told him what the angel said. I have no doubt, but what, as they were growing up, Jesus and John would have gotten together and talked about these things. Jesus, what do you think about all this? Well, John, and man, I'm telling you what, when he opened his, wouldn't you have loved to have heard those conversations? Now look over in Luke chapter 2. You know, find out what did Jesus learn? Well, from age 0, up to age 12, let's find out. Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Incredible. The Passover was a type and shadow prophecy of Jesus. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. I mean, if he'd have been egotistic, he could have said, hey, you guys are celebrating me. That's cool. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned the child, Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, meaning the experts, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So he's sitting there with all these guys, these long beards and these long flowing robes and so on and so forth. My question is, how'd he ever get in on that conversation? How did he end up in the midst of them? My imagination, he's standing there. And he's listening as these guys are, you know, talking. And we don't know for sure if these guys were off base on some of their stuff or not. All we know is, you know, these fellows are there, these experts, these doctors, big old long beards, and Jesus is standing there and listening to this. And I can just hear maybe one of them, you know, throw out a question. And by now, Jesus, I mean, he is so wrapped, and they would have known he was there. Somebody would have noticed this little kid standing there. And then all of a sudden, you know, the one throws out a question, and then Jesus, phew, throws out an answer. And then you hear the proverbial pin drop. And they turn and they look at him. What did you just say? Well, according to the prophet, won't the Messiah, blah, blah, summa, etc., etc.? Well, yes, that's true. Well, and then, doesn't it also say that he will, etc., etc., yada, yada, and so on. And by now, he's got their attention. And they're going back and forth, not arguing. They're going back and forth with questions and statements. And I'm telling you this, I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, they began to yield the floor to Jesus. Because they were astonished. Look here. At his understanding and answers. They're asking him questions. And he's giving them answers. And I'm telling you right now, sooner or later, he would have started giving them answers that explained portions of Scripture they did not understand. Can you just imagine? You know, and here comes Mary and Joseph. Son, where have you been? You know, well, I had to be about my father's business. Can you imagine those doctors? Who is his father? Who has taught him this stuff? And so, you know, he leaves. And those guys, I'm sure they're scratching their heads. And then, you know, next week at, you know, the rabbi's breakfast, when they're all together talking about this, you know, they're down at Denny's or something, having the special, eating their pancakes and drinking their coffee and whatever, and turkey sausage, hallelujah, and you should have been there, you should have heard this kid, who was, I don't know, I said his name, Jesus, you know, where's he from, well, and on, now here's something else. 18 years later, he steps out into ministry, and I'll guarantee you some of these people were still around. And I'm sure as he stood up, maybe they haven't seen him for 18 years, but they never forgot that incident with that 12-year-old kid. Now here comes this adult man. He starts speaking. It's like, whoa, hold on here. That reminds me of that kid. Remember him? Remember 12 years ago back in Jerusalem? Passover. Remember? Yeah, I remember. I'm telling you, that's him. Talks just like him. Jesus had the life of God from the very beginning. Look in Matthew chapter 11. I tell you what, I sure hope God videotaped a bunch of this stuff from back then so we can watch it when we get to heaven. Have some popcorn, hallelujah. In verse 11, Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, Jesus, he recognizes this is it. I mean, I am the beginning of something new. And if you will receive it, this, meaning John, is Elijah which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, Jesus understood from Scripture what the prophets were talking about, Elijah to come. And he says, John the Baptist was Elijah to come. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you guys, you know, you want to pick up on this? I can explain these things to you. I can help you understand what's happening. I, the fulfillment of the law and prophets, am here in front of you right this very minute. I am here right now fulfilling everything you've been teaching all these years. And if you'll receive it and receive me, you'll also receive the life that I have come to offer you. Look in John chapter 5. And pick this up here in verse 37. John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. All those years as he was growing up, by the time he's age 12, he's got a comprehension of who he is as the Messiah. He's got a comprehension. You know, a lot of people talk about how Jesus didn't know for sure that he was going to die on the cross until he had that meeting with Moses and Elijah, Mount of Transfiguration. They talked with him about his crucifixion and so. He knew from the prophecies, from the Old Testament. See, there's so much stuff that gets taught about all this, like Jesus didn't have a clue what was going on. He knew he was going to be betrayed. The Bible talks about in the prophecies. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew that things were going to happen. That's one of the reasons. See, this is one of the reasons why he had no fear. It's because he knew he had to complete his work before he was going to die. You guys want to pick up stones and try and stone me? Well, you know, have at it, but you don't get to kill me. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. When I have fulfilled my work, I will lay my life down for you so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. See, and we can walk in the same kind of confidence when you understand who you are in Christ. I mean, this can almost sound arrogant, but when we come to the place where we are walking side by side with Jesus, we have to grow to that place. But we can actually come to the place where we can say, I'm not leaving till I finish my course. I'm not going. And again, I've shared this in the past. It's my personal opinion. A lot of Christians that have gone out on the mission field have been martyred before their time. They should not have died. And we tend to glorify a lot of that. And I know people are going, Jesus talked about it in prophecies and all this. I know that people are going to die for the cause of Christ. I understand that. But what I'm saying is this. We can come to the place of having a confidence in this life, living without fear. Well, Jesus, because he had the life of God on the inside him from day one, this is how he waxed strong in spirit and grew in wisdom and so on and so forth. Because as God's word is continually being fed into him, that word is producing wisdom. Now, you say, well, then why do we need the Holy Spirit? We weren't born with the life of God. We need the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Talks about how we need the Holy Spirit to help clarify these things to us, so that we come to the place of having the same kind of understanding that Jesus had. And I deal with this kind of stuff on a continual basis. And here's the thing I've shared before. You know, if you leave the Holy Spirit out of the formula, you don't get that kind of teaching from him that he can give you. But if you include him, then you can end up having an understanding of Scripture, because the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for a number of things. Number one is doctrine. So that means that I have the ability to come to the place of understanding all Scripture. That understanding potential exists because I'm born again with the life of God. The Holy Spirit has been given to me, really, to help accelerate my learning process. You know, I was not born as a baby with the life of God. And God says, okay, well, I understand that. To help make up for the lost time, here comes the Holy Spirit.
Well, Jesus had an advantage. He was born with the life of God.
Well, yeah, but God sent the Holy Spirit to help us catch up. So why not take advantage of this? But this is why Jesus was able to comprehend and understand these things. It's because he was born with the life of God, and as the Word was being taught to him, it was joining, if you will, with the life on the inside of him, to where the entrance of God's Word brought the understanding, brought the light, so on and so forth. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and I have no excuses for me. If I neglect the Holy Spirit, I remain at whatever level of ignorance I'm at. But if I include the ministry of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, I learn. I learn, and I spiritually discern these things. And I'm not at the mercy of the traditions of man. Praise God.